coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn.
It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch.
LA's afternoon morning show with Mark flying solo today as Sarah and Pam have left me once again. I think they'll both be back tomorrow. I've been here holding down the fort, Toby. You believe that? We are covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com. Today's show is brought to you by DuBois Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From home to business, DuBois Electric offers repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, and heat pumps. No job is too big or too small for their fully trained, licensed technicians. Visit DuBoisElectric.com. And by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At four locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at Rupert'sBeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's. Today, I am joined in studio by singer, songwriter, and musician Toby McAllister. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You're awfully chipper for 10 past 7.
I'm trying.
Usually, Toby, when we have musicians in here, they're a dragging butt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a little early for rock and roll, but that's okay.
That's right. But you got kids.
Yeah.
So you're so used to getting up early.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, our daughter just started preschool, so she's now getting on the bus every morning.
Right on. It's going to be a long haul for you.
That's what I hear. We're prepared, kind of.
Just do the best you can.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
So far, that's all we're doing.
We are going to talk to Toby all about his music career and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we get there, let's take a look at some headlines for Monday, September 15th. The Sun Journal reports that the developer behind redevelopment of the former Lake Street School in Auburn has withdrawn his proposal to build condominiums on an adjacent lot after receiving a negative reaction from neighbors. City staff were notified that an application for the proposed 5-unit condo project at 7 and 9 Fern Street was withdrawn on the morning of a scheduled planning board public hearing. Governor Mills directed the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention to expand COVID-19 vaccine access amid federal policy changes. Mainers no longer need to obtain a prescription through their healthcare provider and will be allowed to receive the vaccine at pharmacies, clinics, and healthcare offices across the state. Mills said the Trump administration and Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are undermining the nation's public health infrastructure by restricting access to vaccines. And the Maine Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry announced Joe D. Safier as its new deputy commissioner. Since 2023, Safier has served as a special assistant in the commissioner's office, where she has led several high-profile initiatives, including coordination of the Natural and Working Lands Work Group of the Maine Climate Council. She succeeds Deputy Commissioner Randy Charette, who will retire at the end of October following over 9 years of service. Now let's take a look at the weather.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
That's nice. It's good.
Not bad, right?
It's good.
In today's weather, blue skies and sunshine with a high of 74 and a low of 55. Sunshine returns tomorrow with a high of 77 and a low of 52. And mostly cloudy on Wednesday with highs in the mid-70s. In sports, Drake May passed for 2 touchdowns and ran for another as the Patriots beat the Miami Dolphins 33-27. It was Mike Vrabel's first win as New England's head coach. The Pats will host the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday afternoon. Carlos Narvaez homered and Garrett Crochet struck out 12 over 6 innings to lead the Red Sox over the stinking Yankees 6-4. The Sox are off today and will host the Athletics tomorrow night. The Maine Nordiques opened their season with a 2-game sweep of the Philadelphia Rebels, 5-1 and 4-3 in a shootout. The Nords head to their new home, Norway Savings Bank Arena in Auburn, to take on the New Jersey Titans on Friday and Saturday nights. And CMCC Baseball swept a doubleheader over Great Bay Community College, 9-3 and 11-1. CM Men's and Women's Soccer will host UMaine Augusta tomorrow. That is your news, weather, and sports. And now it's time for the podcast segment that is sweeping the Twin Cities. It sure is, Toby. You're looking at me like it's not, but it is.
Yeah, no, it sounds fun.
It is sweeping the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
Famous. It's the birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for September the 15th. We're going to start off with actor Tom Hardy, who is 48 years old today. He played Batman, didn't he? Are you familiar with Tom?
He played one of the man's Spider-Man.
Oh, did he play Spider-Man?
I have no idea.
Okay. He was in The Dark Knight Rises and Mad Max Fury Road as well, and Black Hawk Down. He was in that too. DJ KG from Naughty by Nature.
Oh, okay.
56 years old today.
Good for him.
OPP, how can I explain it? I take it frame by frame it. They were great, right?
Yeah.
Did you get into Naughty by Nature?
Yeah, it's like trying to dig back in the archives of my brain.
Yeah. Drummer Kelly Keegi of Night Ranger is 73 years old today. A lot of shows, Toby, they will just focus on the guitar players and the singers, not us, not here on the Lunch Bunch. We give proper respect to bass players and drummers and keyboard players as well.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. You want to give a shout out to your drummer?
Yeah, Nate, he's probably still sleeping right
probably.
Now.
Probably, yeah.
Good for him.
Ron Shelton. Screenwriter Ron Shelton is 80 years old today. He wrote Bull Durham and White Men Can't Jump and Tin Cup.
I'm unfamiliar.
A lot of sports movies. Good reason for that. He's a former minor league baseball infielder.
Okay.
Yeah. He did some good work. All three of those movies are fantastic. And rounding out FPBs for September the 15th is Tommy Lee Jones.
Woo.
79 years old today.
Wow.
Still doing it.
Yeah.
I remember him mostly from, I think, The Fugitive.
Okay.
Seen that one?
Yep.
He was in No Country for Old Men.
Men in Black,
absolutely. Let's see, The Client. He was in Batman Forever. I think he played Two-Face in Batman Forever. Jason Bourne, and a bunch of other movies. What an incredible career for Tommy Lee Jones. Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
All right. Need your honest feedback on that one.
I don't think it could be any better.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm putting that quote on Facebook. On this day, 6 years ago in 2019, frontman for the legendary rock band The Cars, Rick Ocasek, died at the age of 75. Were you a Cars fan?
Informal, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're from Boston.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, The Cars and Aerosmith, two of the best bands to come out of Boston.
That's cool.
21 years ago today in 2004, Johnny Ramone of the Ramones died of prostate cancer at the age of 55.
Young.
Incredible band, too. Yeah. I mean, they hated each other, but they made some great music.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of history about them, but obviously I liked them when I was a kid.
I'm a big Ramones fan.
Yeah.
They were incredible. 42 years ago on this day in 1983, Huey Lewis and the News released their sports album featuring I Want a New Drug, Heart and Soul, and The Heart of Rock and Roll. 43 years ago on this day in 1982, the first issue of USA Today was published. 46 years ago on this day in 1979, The Devil Went Down to Georgia by the Charlie Daniels Band peaked at number 3 on the pop singles chart. A hard rock version of the song is played in the final battle of Guitar Hero 3. Charlie was not happy about that. He said, quote, I did not grant these people my permission to pervert my song, and I am disgusted with the result.
Wow.
End quote.
Never made it to number one, huh?
No, never made it to number one. 47 years ago on this day in 1978, Muhammad Ali defeated Leon Spinks in 15 rounds to win an unprecedented 4th world heavyweight boxing title. 54 years ago on this day in 1971, Columbo debuted on NBC starring Peter Falk, a groundbreaking television show that is still on if you have like Tubi or any of those streaming services, you can watch Columbo. What was unique about that show is it was a murder mystery, but the mystery was not who committed the murder. It was how Columbo was going to solve it.
Okay.
They showed you the murder in the beginning of the show.
Interesting.
And then Columbo came on about 20 minutes into the show, and then he'd have to figure out how it all happened.
All right.
Pretty cool. 60 years ago on this day in 1965, the science fiction classic Lost in Space premiered on CBS. And 73 years ago on this day in 1952, the classic I Love Lucy episode, Lucy in the Candy Factory, first aired. If you've never seen that, look it up on YouTube. It's definitely worth your time.
I have not seen it.
It's good stuff.
Okay.
Those are your FPBs and OTDs for September the 15th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate with your daily safety tip. Always lock doors and windows at home and in the car. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
Don't miss Central Maine Community College's open house and homecoming weekend on Saturday, September 27th. Whether you're a future Mustang, proud alum, supportive family member, or a community friend, there's something for you. Visit cmcc.edu/homecoming for details and the full schedule.
Now, we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, musician, singer, songwriter, Toby McAllister. Toby, where did it all begin?
Well, it all began this morning when I got up and tried to caffeinate before I got here. When I was a kid, I wanted to play guitar and start a rock and roll band when I was, I don't know, seventh grade with my friends. And long story short, we ended up doing it. And I still am in a band with those two guys today, and now we're old, so...
Come on, you're not old.
Older.
You're just hitting your stride.
Yeah, all right, I like that better.
Yeah, so you had a band in seventh grade.
Yeah, we were called Poser with a Z. Super cool.
All right, pretty cool, yeah.
We'd play anywhere that anyone would tolerate listening to us. But we had a lot of fun, and we wrote a lot of songs that, you know, listening back, it's funny hearing the songs we would write in high school because they were just about what we were going through at the time.
Sure.
Which obviously feels very juvenile now. But it was a good way for us to kind of express our feelings and a different way for us to get emotions out and deal with things going on in our life. And I actually think, looking back, it was a really cool outlet for teenagers and young kids to deal with things going on in their life. And I don't see as many kids picking up guitar these days. I hope they still are. People are still starting garage bands when they're young, because I think it is a super important thing to do
and a healthy outlet
for sure.
As well,
yeah. I mean, right. It kept us out of, you know, me particularly. I didn't really like party in high school or anything. I just, anytime the weekend rolled around, we just wanted to go jam in the barn, and that was kind of our entire life.
So you're writing songs.
Yeah.
At that age.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of kids that start playing or they have a garage band, they're trying to play cover songs that already exist. It's a lot easier that way.
Yeah.
Right.
We certainly did. We certainly grew up on learning how to play like Blink-182 and Offspring songs and all the punk rock bands that we really liked. But pretty early, as soon as we figured out how to play a few chords, we were writing our own songs. And of course, the first, you know, 20 were really, really bad. But then, you know, they progressively got a little bit better. And by the time we were seniors in high school, it felt like the songs were actual songs and we were going into, you know, recording studios and making.
Right.
I mean, we put out like 3 CDs when we were in high school. It's pretty funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It is.
Wow. When you look back at that time, what songs give you the most pride?
Oh, I don't know. We would write about our parents getting divorced or our girlfriends breaking up with us. I mean, like I said, looking back, it's all kind of like, it feels a little silly listening to the songs, but it does snapshot a moment in time, things that we were going through as kids that maybe if we didn't, like you said, if we didn't have that outlet, we may have chosen a different path.
Right.
And I'm super proud of us for how we dealt with that stuff.
What happened after high school?
We all got enrolled to University of Southern Maine, and we pretended to go there for like a semester and a half, but really we were just writing songs and rehearsing, and we ended up rebranding the band and adding new members, and started a band called Sparks the Rescue, which, you know, I remember booking our first few tours on MySpace, which used to be a website kind of like Facebook.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And Tom was your friend.
I'm aging myself. But yeah, you know, we would just, I booked our first tour up and down the East Coast of Florida and back. It was like 3 weeks. And, you know, we were playing birthday parties, biker bars, VFW halls. It didn't really matter. We just wanted, we knew we wanted to be a band that went on tour. And it didn't really matter where we were playing or if there were people there. So we went and did that. And then after doing that a couple times, we got noticed by a record label in New York City called Double Blind Records. They came and saw us at a bowling alley in Long Island. And they wanted to sign us to their record label, which, as a bunch of young kids, were like, no way, this is so cool. Yeah. So we went down to New York City and did that with them, and they helped fund our first full-length record, which was called Eyes to the Sun, which I, you know, I believe is our most successful CD that we put out, and ended up selling us to Fearless Records out in California, and then, you know, we spent the next 6 years just constantly on the road.
Tell me about the name Sparks the Rescue.
Yeah, it just came from like a romance novel by Nicholas Sparks called The Rescue. I wish I had a cooler story behind it. I really do.
But did the romance novel belong to anyone in the band?
No, I didn't even read it, to be honest. So I don't even know if it's good.
You form Sparks the Rescue, and you're playing, like you said, in VFW halls, and you were discovered at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Which is like, I do stand-up comedy, and I've played in a lot of those same venues.
Yeah.
And one of the hardest parts to me, even starting out when you're just, you're bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. One of the hardest parts for me was keeping a straight face when they paid you.
Yeah.
Right? Did you ever get that? Did you ever like, are you guys going to pay me for this? Or were you like, this is why we're
I think anytime we got paid, we were happy.
Yeah, sure.
Surprised, maybe even.
Yeah.
I feel like with stand-up comedy, though, like, even if it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Yeah, you can acknowledge that it's going bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's more free form.
It's like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty
good. That's right. That's right. Take me back to the bowling alley.
It was just, like I said, we thought it was super cool. They had a record label that was mostly like electronic music. And then they had this one like rock and roll band. And at the time, the kind of music we were playing, which was like, you know, post-hardcore emo pop punk music, was becoming increasingly popular. And so they wanted to kind of dip their feet into that pool, and they saw us as their guinea pig, I think. And so, you know, we were excited. We had, you know, we had stars in our eyes. We were young and like, this is what we've wanted. And they actually did a lot of good stuff for us. They put us in the studio with a bigger budget than we had, because up until then we had just self-funded everything. So it was cool that they paid for a recording, and they helped us out with getting on the road, and they helped facilitate eventually signing to a bigger record label, which was the ultimate goal. It was really cool. It was kind of like you have all these dreams when you're in high school of being in a rock and roll band touring the country, and we actually got to do it. So, you know, we never became the biggest band in the world, but we had a lot of fun, and I think we learned a lot by, instead of going to college, just getting in a 15-passenger van with six other guys and traveling the country for years. We got to see, you know, every single state except Alaska and Hawaii, and we got to tour Europe, and we got to do the Vans Warped Tour, which is something we grew up going to as kids. So, you know, their dreams certainly did come true to a degree. Yeah.
Take me back to those touring days. What was, so you're in a van with six guys.
Yeah. Let's
including
see.
You or
more. So there was five in the band.
Okay.
Well, we started, there was six in the band, and then we would often bring out someone to help with tour managing, and then maybe a merch person. So, you know, between seven and eight people, the first van we ever had was an Astro van, which is, I don't know if you're familiar, but they're quite small.
Yeah.
And so we had eight people, like every seat was occupied.
Oh, my God.
And that was pretty rough. We couldn't afford hotel rooms or anything. We would just, like, play the show, and at the merch table, we would just beg people for a floor to sleep on. I mean, we did that pretty much the entire time we toured because we didn't want to spend money. You know, if we made any money, we wanted to keep it. And we need gas to the next show. And so I think we finally got a 15-passenger van when we got signed to the record label. And that was a game changer because then everyone could, like, lay down on a van bench. So only two people had to be awake, the driver and the passenger. Yeah. And I tell people, I think I block out a lot of like the bad memories because it was not easy. It was really hard. But I've chosen to remember all the good stuff because it was a lot of fun.
When you look back on those days, what are a couple of memories that stick with you?
I think, well, what's cool is I had a handheld camcorder back then, and for almost every tour we did, I made a tour video, which, if anyone dares, they are all still currently on YouTube. All
right.
I'm not sure that... It was a different time. And so looking back on some of them, like, that doesn't feel super appropriate, but... We would just, you know, we were just messing around and trying to entertain ourselves any way we could. You know, we were just young kids with no supervision, just traveling the country.
That was your first time away from home.
Yeah. I mean, we're 21 years old. We're in California playing at like these legendary clubs like the Roxy or the Viper Room. Wow. And we got to play the Troubadour, just like legendary stuff. And, you know, the highlights for me are always doing like the Vans Warped Tour in 2010, which is just like a traveling music festival of all our favorite bands. Like we were sharing the stage with some of our favorite bands. It was just crazy, so cool.
Yep.
We got to tour Europe with the All-American Rejects. That was like a career highlight for sure. We got that tour super last minute. It was just us and them. It was like 2 weeks before the first show in Germany and none of us had passports. So we had to like drive to Connecticut, sleep in the parking lot, wait for our passports to get printed, and then come home and pack and head to the airport, basically. Yeah. It was a whirlwind.
Yeah.
It was so crazy. But and I feel like I always bring up those two particular things because they do stick out. But, I mean, I have a frame at my house of all of like, our old tour passes. And, like, it's crazy how much time we spent just living in a van, you know, 6-7 years straight, where we'd come home for Christmas and just get back in the van and go.
Did you ever, during that time, did you ever have any doubts as far as your career path?
Oh, I think we all did constantly. Yeah. It was so stressful. We lived on $10 a day. That was our per diem. So basically buy a pack of cigarettes and a dollar cheeseburger and then hope the venue gave us drink tickets so we could catch a buzz and then make it to the next day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a constant struggle, but for that 30 to 40 minutes, we got to play in a new city every night in front of new people and make new friends. Like it was worth it. It was great.
What happened after the tour?
Oh, well, you know, we toured constantly for a while and then, gradually, people want to start settling down a little bit, not living in a car. And
yeah, it's weird, right?
It is a certain lifestyle, you know, coming home in between tours and we'd see all our friends from high school. They were already married with houses and kids and we were stuck in this kind of like arrested development bubble. Yeah. But we were doing what we loved. It's what we wanted to do. But, you know, certainly members started being like, well, I don't think I can do this anymore. And we did keep going for quite a while, even after members started exiting. We would replace them. And it was never quite the same. But we, particularly me and the singer Alex, kept it going as long as we could. Mm-hmm. And but now we all have resided back in Maine. We all have families and houses. And we're still doing like shows that we, you know, we just announced. We're going to do a show at the State Theater this November 26th, the night before Thanksgiving. So to headline the State Theater as a band is like, it's very cool now that we're a little older. That's like a bucket list thing that I think Maine bands really dream of doing. Yeah. So if you're out there, please come. Please buy a ticket.
What an incredible venue that
is. Yeah, so cool.
Yeah. Wow, congratulations on that.
Thanks, yeah. We're nervous and excited, and it should be a great time.
So the band now is called Toby McAllister and the Sierra Sounds?
So that's my new band, separate from Sparks, but me and Ben and Nate started Sparks the Rescue when we were kids, and me and Ben and Nate are now in my band with a couple other friends, Xander and Jake. And so that's been my main focus. You know, Sparks is loosely active. It's not like, you know... We had to stop doing reunion shows. We just had to admit that maybe we're just still a band that doesn't play as often. So I just can't imagine doing anything else with my life. And so I, around the pandemic, started writing songs again, which I hadn't done in a long time. I wasn't the primary songwriter in Sparks. I was just kind of the backup guy. So I started writing my own songs again, and I was like, wow, I really missed this. And so, you know, since then I've put out, you know, 3 CDs and a bunch of singles, and we're very, very active, gigging a lot. And so that's just been, yeah, that's still my full-time gig.
Yeah, that's awesome. You've achieved a dream.
I have, in a way, and I think it looks different than what I thought it might look like when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this dream of being like a rock star, famous musician, whatever. But I'm actually just able to support myself and help support my family by playing songs. So I think I may have made it in a different way. And it's important to reflect on that sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good place to be when you can, I mean, something that you grew up loving.
Yeah, it's great, man. You know, I gig at bars. I have a wedding band. We do like 13 to 15 weddings a year. And I'm able to support myself and my career and put songs out and play shows with my friends. I mean, it's really not a bad gig.
How has the songwriting matured since your early days?
Right, so I can't really write about divorce and girlfriends breaking up with me anymore.
or homework or anything like that, right?
Yeah, right. So I think I mostly am finding a way to deal with my own, like, mortality through songs, and I definitely write about that a lot. And, you know, as we get older, it's becomes a way bigger theme than I thought it would, you know? Like, my father passed away a few years ago, and that's been a lot to deal with, but at the same time, bringing new life into the world. I have 2 kids. And so I think I'm just, there's no shortage of stuff to write about or process. And I think that's one thing that hasn't changed since high school, is that's how I'm processing all my feelings and dealing with it. It's a really great outlet.
How did starting a family affect you?
It's been great. I mean, we found out we were pregnant with our first child in February of 2020. So we had like 3 weeks of like, this is awesome. And then the pandemic hit. We're like, oh, this is not awesome. So it was a weird time. And she was born in October of 2020. So it was a weird thing. You know, she met my mom and my wife's parents like through FaceTime and through doors. And, you know, the first year of her life was very strange. So it affected me pretty deeply in maybe and I think anyone who had a child during the 2020, 2021 time period would say the same thing. It was just a bizarre experience. Yeah. But we just had our second. He just turned a year old, and we're exhausted, but we love it. It's beautiful. Love being a dad. I wouldn't have it any other way. We're very tired.
It goes with the territory, right? As young as your kids are, have they shown any interest in music?
Yeah, we have like toy guitars and pianos around. I never want to force it on them, but I've got my fingers crossed. But yeah, no, Addie loves singing and dancing. And lately she's really, really into my first EP that I put out. And I'm so sick of listening to it. She's just always, it's like, I'm so grateful that she likes it.
Yeah.
But every time we get in the car, I'm like, can you please pick something else?
Yeah. Does she know that dad's kind of a big deal?
I don't think she cares.
No.
And I don't even know that I am a big deal, but she certainly does not care. But it does make me happy that she likes my songs. And she always gets the first listen now. If I'm recording new demos on the way to daycare, I'm like, do you want to hear the new demo? And she'll tell me if it's good or it sucks.
Oh, so, that's great.
Yeah. I take her 4.5-year-old opinion very seriously.
I love it.
Yeah.
You were featured in the summer issue of LA Metro Magazine.
Yes, that was so cool.
Yeah, fellow musician Michael Krapovicki
got
to interview you
and
write the story. What was that experience like for you?
He's great. He's always been so supportive of, you know, and, you know, in the local open mic scene. And it was really cool. We did, I think the photo was from the show at Lost Valley we did with Skosh. The interview with Mike was great. Given that we're both busy musicians, pretty sure we did it over interview over email or phone. Mm-hmm. I think it was email. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the best way for me to get my actual answers out.
Yeah.
Sitting on the couch, just focused for a moment.
Right.
But yeah, no, it was great, man. And it's super cool to see it around town. And it was a great experience overall.
What's your assessment of the Maine music scene?
It's so wildly different than it was when I was younger. But I think... It felt like there was a lull there for a while, but I feel like it's really doing well at the moment. Like, I just made a Facebook post the other day. Like, there's 4 Maine bands headlining the State Theater this fall. Like, that's really cool. Like, Weekend Friends, Griffin Williams Sherry, Sparks, and the Mallet Brothers. Like, that to me shows like a pretty healthy situation going on.
Yeah.
If like four main bands can take up four dates at the Fall, headlining like the coolest room in the state. And there's a lot of young up and coming bands that are doing great too. And you know, we're just a small little band in our corner of the world over here. But I try to have friends play with us as often as I can. If there's an opening slot, I try to get people on that I like. And back when Sparks was coming up, we were just playing at this place called The Station in Portland on St. John Street, like once a month. And like so many awesome bands would roll through there. It was a different time. It was like, you know, 700-800 kids coming out all the time to these shows. I feel like maybe I don't see that as much these days, but I still think there's a need for local rock and roll. And yeah.
How would you describe your style?
My band that we're doing, I don't know. It's like, I usually try to say it's like if, you know, Johnny Cash started like a punk rock band, I feel like that's kind of our vibe.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Because I love, we love punk music. We love alternative country music, folk music, and, you know, singer-songwriter stuff, that songs that tell a story. And but at the end of the day, we are a pop-punk band, and you can't really, it's hard to change. So, yeah, I don't know. If you like loud rock and roll music and you like alternative country, you'd probably dig our sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love punk music
as
well. Where did that come from for you? Because that's punk music, it turns a lot of people off.
Yeah. I don't know. My parents were super cool and into great music, so they introduced me to a lot of awesome bands when I was a kid. Bands like the old 97s or the Pogues, and you know, Blink-182 and The Offspring and Dead Kennedys and all these like bands that maybe would turn heads a little bit, but like I really, it like resonated with me as a young kid. And I just wanted to play loud guitar. And if I wasn't playing guitar, I wanted loud music playing in my headphones. Yeah. And I think that was the beginning of my addiction to music.
Yeah. Were you rebellious as a kid?
I mean, not really. Like I said, I didn't really like party or do anything crazy like that. But, you know, I had like a chain wallet and dyed my hair blue. Like in that way I was, but I was pretty tame.
How about some shows coming up aside from the one at the state?
Yeah. So, let's see. My band is doing some stuff. We're doing Oktoberfest at Saddleback October 4th. We're doing a country festival with 12OC on October 5th. That's in Lymington. We just announced we do a headliner in Portland every year. We're doing this year at Oxbow on Friday, November 14th. And then I think I can say, because it was announced earlier this summer, it hasn't been formally announced like on the internet, but we're going to be playing the New Year's Eve event here in Auburn.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So very much looking forward to that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Where can folks go online to learn more about you?
TobyMcAllister.com. You know, same thing on Spotify and Instagram. Just search my name. There's not too many of us, so it should pop right up.
Good stuff. Anything else that you'd like our listeners to know before we move on to our final segment?
Thanks for tuning in and thanks for having me on the show. This has been really cool.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
All right, Toby, we like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions, where I will ask you questions that have nothing to do with your career or music or anything.
All right.
We're just trying to get to know you a little bit better as a member of our community.
Cool.
So let's start. Question number one, what was your favorite childhood toy?
Oh, wow. Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Right?
Childhood toy. Man, it's early. I had, you know, what's cool is I had a couple toys that my mom actually saved and we've given them to our kids now. Like this homemade thing with, marbles that they just kind of like go back and forth. It was like, I remember being mesmerized as a child by this thing. And then my mom like dug it out of a closet like last year and we gave it to my daughter. And she loves it. It's really great. Cool. I hope that we have kind of like the same instinct to save things, and give them to our kids one day. Yeah. My mom's really good at that.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, Toby, putting your professional skills aside, what could you teach someone to do today with 100% certainty?
Oh, wow. If they were 21, I could teach them how to enjoy the finest bourbons around. A shout out to Rupert's, by the way. I love Rupert's.
It's the best.
I'm a complete bourbon geek, and I have like a closet full of it. It's been a recent like hobby I've gotten into in the last few years. And I don't know. It's kind of like a weird there's like a whole community of people who like really enjoy good whiskey. And that's kind of been like my hobby over the past few years. I think Pam's down at the Bourbon Festival, right?
She sure is. Yeah, that's exactly where she is.
Yeah, she texted me like, I won't be there. I'm down in Kentucky. I'm like, that's sick. Yeah. Have fun.
Pam is also the person who served me my first bourbon.
Oh, nice. Do you know what it was?
It was Angel's Envy.
Yeah, Angel's is great. Good stuff.
It's like, where's this been all my life, right? Because I was just always a beer drinker. I never got into, and I tried tequila once, and that was a bad experience. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm off that stuff.
Yeah.
I tried Angel's Envy, and I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a rabbit hole.
I made the mistake. I went to Rupert's, and I was like, well, Angel's Envy is like $100 a bottle.
Yeah,
maybe I'll get something a little cheaper, and it might be just as good. It was nowhere near as good as Angel's Envy.
You really got to be careful, because there's a lot on the shelf there.
Yes.
So
I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is horrible.
You ever want to talk bourbon, let me know.
All right. So what are your – give me your top three.
I mean – that's so hard. I really got into it because of the Buffalo Trace mash bill. And so everything that comes out of that distillery, I'm just a huge fan of. Lately, I've really been enjoying the Four Roses single barrel, which is readily on the shelf. It's not even allocated, I don't think.
All right.
Because a lot of the stuff is allocated. It's hard to find. You can't buy it unless you know a guy who knows a guy.
Right.
But lately, I've been trying to get into like what's just sitting on the shelf that's really good. And there's a bunch of great, great bottles just sitting on the shelf there that are easier to find. Like I said, I could talk about it for a long time.
Yeah.
So we should move on.
Okay. All right, Toby, final question. You are presented with a time machine. You can take one round trip. Where are you going and why?
Oh, man. I'd probably just go back to being a kid. And it was so easy back then. You know, looking at my kids now, I'm just like, I remember like not being, you know, tainted by the world yet. Yeah. I think I would just go back to being a kid and just enjoy that feeling of just freedom and not constantly worried and stressed. And we grow up and become adults, and it gets real hard, you know? So I think I'd go back to just having no cares in the world except what I was going to do that day. And I like to live vicariously through my children now.
Yeah. It was the best, right?
Yeah, it was the best.
And very little technology back then.
Yeah, no, I didn't have... Yeah. I was just telling someone the other day, I think in high school, when I was a senior, I ended up getting like a Razor flip phone. But like we didn't have tablets and
you
phones.
You weren't inundated with
I'm
it.
I'm so glad because now it's just, you know, everyone's addicted to their phone. I'm addicted to my phone for sure. I do all my business on my phone.
Yep.
We won't get too existential, sorry.
It's been a pleasure, Toby. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Go online to TobyMcAllister.com to keep up with all of Toby's tour dates and a whole lot more. We want to thank Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DeBlois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day, and remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I